You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretz here. Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The countdown is over. The National Football League season is here. Let's do this thing. We're now just hours away from starting this party. We've got a game on Thursday night. We've got a game on Friday night. We've got college football and CFL football on Saturday. We've got NFL football on Sunday, NFL football on Monday. Really, Tuesdays and Wednesdays will be the only non-football days, and that's just for another month, month and a half or so until the Tuesday and Wednesday college football game start. We got the WNBA playoffs, Major League Baseball pennant chase. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the sports world, but it's all about the National Football League, and I wanted to focus in on the NFL today. It really did kind of creep up on us, despite the fact that we had, you know, 6 months to get ready for this. But not every future bet that you make goes off the board tonight at 8:20 Eastern time, but some of them do. Right. You know, some of them do. And obviously there's odds all year long, and, you know, the odds get updated. But there's like player props and seasonal props that have to get in before the first game that kicks off. So we'll break it all down. I'll share some of the best bets that I've come up with. We'll share some of the crazy props and bets that you can make as far as the NFL is concerned. And you know what? We'll share them with you, and it's up to you whether you want to pull the trigger on them. But, Cam, the NFL season is finally here.
Can't wait, Morenci. No, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait for it to kick it off. Yeah, you talk about it, but we're still going to deal with college and CFL. But nice way to start the season here with the divisional game. You know, Philadelphia going to be raising the banner versus Dallas. But you're right. Get your bets in right now. I can't wait. And the best thing about this week, Morenci, other than a couple of games, take a look at these spreads. 2.5, 1.5, 3s, like a lot of very, very tight games. Other than the Denver game, the Philadelphia game, and a couple others hovering around 5.5, 6, we got a lot of tight games that can go either way.
And of course, fantasy football season set to begin. That's something, a reminder, week one, it's here. Make sure your lineups are set. You don't want to screw up, like, you know, the first game of the year. And I do believe I do have a couple of, I think I've got, I got Dak Prescott actually as my quarterback on one
Me
of
too.
My fantasy teams.
I have my 2 out of 3 leagues game.
And I might, I think I might have CeeDee Lamb on another team. I'm not sure. I only have 2 teams actually though. So I don't have too many teams to manage this year, but I've got some pretty good quarterbacks in my rotation. And, you know, we talked a lot about the contest in the offseason as well. And it's funny because everybody always talks big in the offseason about, you know, entering this contest and entering that contest. And for me personally, we do have one entry in the circa millions. So we're alive. We've got a puncher's chance of becoming a millionaire this year. We're alive in the Circa Millions. We're not in the Circa Survivor. I didn't play the Circa Survivor because there's just so many people in it. And yeah, it sounds flashy that there's $15, $20 million. I know they just passed the $15 million mark, and the final weekend, there'll be a lot of late entries. So nevertheless, it's a ton of money, but you have so many people. So inevitably you end up like with ties, right? You know, like every time in the Circa, nobody's ever walked away with like the 12 mil or the 15 mil or something like that. Normally it's like, you know, four or five dudes or women per se, whoever, four or five players who, you know, end up getting $2.5-3 million each or whatever. Hey, it's not bad, but we talked a lot about betting the Bet Online Survivor contest and, you know, entering the max amount of entries and 25, 30 entries in every contest out there. And now that the season's here, it's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll enter five times.
I got to be honest with you, Gabe. I'm looking at the contest going, I don't have the bread for that. And I'm not, not a high roller by chance. Me and you, we bet high volume a lot of the time. And I'm looking at these contests going, I don't have the bankroll to put in like thousands and thousands and thousands for the contest. Got to live. Wish it was different. But I like these smaller contests that you're talking about. And Bill Krakenmeyer, one of the guys that you brought on our show, was talking about like local casinos and pick 'em pools and weekly stuff, you know, 50, 100 bucks, couple hundred bucks. Yeah, it gets pretty, you know, we haven't even made our bets yet and we have futures and stuff. It can get out of control, but you need a big bankroll come football season.
Yeah, you know what though, Cam, for me, it's not just like the money part, and the money part is real because all this money that you're putting out in the contest could be used in your bankroll. Mm-hmm. But it's the actual, I'm thinking about it. So a good example is, so Bet Online has a $1 million survivor, guaranteed $1 million to the winner. So that's pretty good. And it's only $30 to enter.
Amazing.
Right. So that's it. And you can, and you're allowed to buy up to, you're allowed to buy up to 25 entries. So 25 entries only cost $455. They sort of, it incrementally goes down the more entries you buy, the cost. So $455, you have a chance of winning $1 million and you got 25 entries. Or like I said, you enter the Circa Survivor, you've got like 20,000 people and it's $1,000 to enter. I think you can enter up to six times, but you know, who has the $6,000 just for that one contest? So looking at the Bet Online right now, Cam, for me, it's not just so much the monetary part. It's like, do I really want 25 entries? What am I going to do, bro? Like, it's going to rack my head every week.
Exactly. Like, I can barely manage three fantasy teams.
And then I'm going to have to start thinking about strategy. Well, what do I do? I take this team four times and that team? Like it's just, it's too much. Like,
it is.
It's like, I don't want that burden. It's like, it's just overkill.
How many teams then in a $30 would you do? Five? 150?
I really was thinking I wanted to spray the board. So I was like, you know what, maybe I'll go 10, but that even then I'm like, you know, I've sort of, yeah, look, five entries is $130. 10 entries is 230.
Reasonable.
So, look, you know what? Here's one. Six entries, $150. That seems like a good, like even six entries. I can handle six different survivor picks in a week. You know, that's not overwhelming. They also have another one, $100,000 guaranteed to the winner. It's a NFL spread survivor. You pick one game against the spread.
That's awesome.
Each week.
That's great. I like that.
I like this one. This one is $20 to enter. So you can enter 25 times for $280. They give you a deal incrementally as it goes down. So, yeah, to be honest, when it's all said and done, I'm looking at this, Cam. Yeah, I'll probably do like 5 and 5. You know what I mean? The six and six or something like that. I don't need, like I said, it's time consuming. And I also don't want to, I'm going to rack my brain every week. Like, and I'm going to kill myself. It's stressful, these contests. You really start to blame yourself. They have another one here where it's free to enter, actually, but you got to be a customer. $200,000 NFL mega contest. So, yeah, as we stated, today's the day. Look at all your sports books and look around, and you're going to see a bunch of contests and stuff. Be careful, though, because there's a lot of these new contests that are popping up right now online. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
And yeah, you know, do they really have the money? Right, it's like a lot of these shows, like fantasy leagues and stuff like
good
that.
Call.
Like I'm seeing a few. Oh, 2.5 million to the winner and stuff. It's like, you know what? If the Westgate and the Hilton can't like get 2.5 to give you, how are you? Some website that we've never heard of online, right? So I'm just saying, like,
hey, Gabe, we've had money in sports books that went under before. Who the yeah? Some guy could put up, hey, send the money to this address, and I'll give you this and that. Yeah, and at the end, you're sitting there going, oh, okay. Yeah, where's the dough? Like, you got to be careful with this stuff. That's the thing. You want to talk about scams today? Like, think about putting out a contest and then you can collect the money, not get paid out. You have to be very, very careful. I think that's an excellent point you bring up. We don't talk about it enough. There's a lot of fly-by-nighters there. Be careful.
Yeah, you know what? And it seems like it's kind of common sense, but it happens all the time. Everybody falls for things all the time. Hell, I've fallen for things, Cam.
I do.
You know, we all get duped at some point, right?
Like, yeah,
I
get duped a lot.
Naive. Oh, I thought this... But so, yeah, just buyer beware before you enter these contests. And there's so many of the credible ones and the reputable ones. And like I said, and even not even for like the $1 million and all this, like pretty much every sports book always has like free this and free that, or, you know, low entry free fee for contests. All right. So as far as some picks are concerned, actually, you know what? Speaking of which, so Survivor, it's week one. And you know, this is interesting, actually, because Survivor talk is, you know, people like talking about Survivor and you know, what who to take. But the fact of the matter is, Survivor talk really is only good for a week or two. Like, it really is amazing. The last couple of years, like, even in the Circus Survivor, like, 75% of the field was eliminated after the second week. Like, I thought I was super cool because I made it to week three. I made it to like the 30 percentile, and I got bounced in week three. Like,
thought I was super cool. Well, think about this. If Denver loses or Philadelphia loses, you're going to knock out a lot of people in this pool. The other games, what are you thinking? Cleveland, the Cincinnati over Cleveland would be a big one. Washington Giants is a divisional game. Like, think about it. If one of these upsets comes in, there's going to be people like, they're done. Like, it's going to knock out a lot with 8-point dogs.
I think that the Denver Broncos will be the most popular play. I think a lot of people will be on the Eagles, but I think some people are hesitant to play the first game often. People in contests don't like playing the Thursday or, you know, the Thursday night games because they like to sit on in the contest. People like to sit on the injuries, right? Like, you're betting a game on Thursday because the deadline is Saturday for these contests. So a lot of people like to wait to the last possible second, believing that, you know, there could be late breaking injury news in a game. But the Philadelphia Eagles will definitely be a very popular Survivor pick. The Arizona Cardinals will be a popular Survivor pick, despite the fact that they're on the road. Listen, we've talked about it. I like the New York Giants in this game getting 6 points, but that's me. That's not going to stop people from thinking Washington are going to crush the Giants. I can imagine a lot of people will use Washington as a Survivor pick. The Denver Broncos, it's almost like too, you know, too easy, too good to be true. But the Titans are bad, right? You know, the Titans were 2-15 against the spread last year. It's like, you know, literally one of the worst ATS records in the history of the National Football League. And yeah, they'll be better this year. They got Cam Ward right now, but they still are. They're a long ways away, and Denver are a very good football team. So the Broncos will no doubt be the most popular one. But, you know, a couple of those other ones that we talked about, I don't mind getting bold and attacking. Listen, I think the Bills are going to beat the Ravens, right? And no one's going to take the Bills, right? So you'll sort of get a head start there. But with that being stated, then you don't have the Bills anymore. So there's always a yeah, but when it comes to planning the survivor. I think, you know, I don't plan too far ahead with this stuff, Cam. Like, you drive yourself crazy, because the thing is, if you start assuming, you can't assume teams are going to win a game 4 weeks from now, because a lot of stuff can change 4 weeks from now. Quarterbacks can get hurt. Injuries can happen. Teams can be better than you thought they were going to be. So there's no guarantee. So you sort of got to live with the guarantee now and then find what the safest play is the following week. I know a lot of people talk about, I'm going to save this team for week 10 and this team for week 9. And then they get eliminated in week 2 or 3. So what point was it sitting on all these teams when you didn't even get a chance to use them? So, you know, having a couple of entries will give me an opportunity, actually, to, you know, to play a couple of teams. But, that, you know, my advice is, don't stress out so much about saving teams per se. You know, you got to survive. And in today's day and age, it's been the last couple of years, actually, where people get bounced early in this stuff. Right. There's a Grandissimo one at Circa. So it's basically a survivor contest, but it's $100,000 to enter.
Oh. How did you enter the contest? Well, I sold my house. I can't.
Yeah, it's $100,000.
Okay.
At last check, Cam, we only had like 37 entries or something like that. But
that's wow.
You know what I mean? But more people end up entering, and they, you know, like Derek Stevens, the head of Circa, was saying, he goes, yeah, he expects to, like, the winner of that will be by the end of September type of deal. Right. Like, people are going to lose, like they're going to get bounced. It's such a volatile league right now. There's just no guarantees in a National Football League. This is something really interesting that I came across. So this was over at Bet365, and every sports book has like a million props and futures, and you got to do your due diligence and actually go through them all. And Bet365 has a page up, season highs. It's called season highs. And it is basically what you would think it would be. It's like season highs for the season for various different positions, players, props, numbers, yards. And there's some really interesting ones here, actually. The first one on the board is longest field goal made by any player during the regular season this year. And I'm a big field goal prop guy. The prop is 65 and a half yards. Will any kicker make a 66-yard field goal? Now, Justin Tucker did make a 66-yard field goal, right? So he holds the official record. We see in the modern NFL, the kickers are capable of making them, but it has to be an ideal situation. Either the game is on the line and they're in a desperate situation and they don't have a choice but to try the kick, and they know their kicker has a chance to do it, and there's not a lot of kickers that can do it. Or they're on a really bad team, like the Cowboys the past couple of years with all their injuries. They just sort of would say, yeah, you know what, let our kicker try like this, right? Because they really didn't have anything to lose. So I was thinking about, you know what, no one's going to kick a 66-yarder. But the dude on the Lions can kick these. The new kicker on the new kicker on the Jags hit like a 70-yarder in a preseason game. Right. So he's capable, and maybe the Jags would give him a crack to do it. So I'm not going to play this, you know, because I think there's an opportunity that maybe, yeah, I could actually see this happening. I don't love it. If I had to, though, I would say I would play the under just because it's rare. Right. That's the thing. So I like it, but it's an even money bet. Right. So, yeah, you can't force these. You can't play them all. It's an even money bet. But I would tend to say I would tend to go under, because, Cam, there's only a few kickers in the league that can do it, and there's only a few circumstances and situations that they'll even let them and give them a chance to do it. You got to think about this. 66-yarder, that's at midfield, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, if you add 17 yards to this, they're at the 49-yard line. Like, not a lot of coaches let their kickers try a kick, like, from the other side of the field. So I would say under. For that bet. Here's another interesting one too, that I sort of, like, initially I was going to think, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to bet the over of this. Longest TD from scrimmage. over under 92.5 yards. So basically you need a 93 yard touchdown. You need a touchdown from the 7 yard line or the goal line to the other, to the other end zone. And you think about this, Cam, and you figure, yeah, this will happen. Somebody will pop a big run.
It's not
at some
that
point.
No, that's it's actually very, very difficult.
Somebody will pop a screen pass, right? And it'll turn into a big play. And like Cam said, it doesn't, it's rare. Like, touchdowns that long are actually rare. Once in a while, too, you can get a scoop and score, a pick six from one end zone to the other end zone. But we haven't had, if you go back, you look at the history of the National Football League, Derrick Henry had a 99-yard touchdown in 2018. Ronald Jones had a 98-yard touchdown in 2020. Amon Green in 2003 had a 98-yarder. Wow. But, like, in modern era, like, it hasn't really happened. Like, in the, you know, since the longest one was Derrick Henry, and that was in 2018. So looking in the modern era, 2018, we had a 97-yarder. Other than that, there's been nothing. We had in 2020, we had a 94-yarder as well. That was also Derrick Henry, though. Chris Johnson in 2012. And here's one, though, that was last year, but it was 92 yards. Damian Pierce. It was 92 yards. So they happen, but they don't happen a ton here, as you see, Cam. So it's not as if, though, it's a great bet. You're sort of sweating it out for the entire year. You're hoping for one big play, one big rush, one big pick six, or one, something crazy. Yet it doesn't really happen all that often. So to me, you kind of need plus money. I mean, when something is this rare, and Derrick Henry's the one that did it twice.
Or go the other way, Gabe. What are you talking about? Like, so 2018, so 2025, 7 years? And we're talking about, like, you know, you talked about Pierce. Like, it's very, very rare. People think this stuff happens all the time. It doesn't. You need absolutely something crazy to happen in the game. And you know how hard it is, Gabe, for a running back to be in the open field. He usually gets caught. It doesn't matter how fast you are. Like, that's, I would actually consider no for that bet. I don't think it will happen. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, then you just sort of every play of every game during the entire year, you've got a vested interest in. Every time they're inside the 7 yard line, you're like, all right, let's go score a touchdown. I just want better odds because it is such an improbable situation. But this is the one, actually, and there's a ton of them, but this is the one that I really sort of sat on, looked at, and went back on and said, yeah, this is the one I'm going to bet. And it's most interceptions thrown in a game. By any quarterback this year. And it's over under 4.5. So it's basically, I say under. So essentially, I say that a quarterback will not throw 5 interceptions in a game this year.
I agree.
If you think about 5 interception games, they are also very, very rare. It doesn't happen that often. Although I will say, it did happen. I say it doesn't happen all that often. It happened last year. So it did happen once last year, but before that, it hadn't happened since 2019. And before that, it hadn't happened since 2017. And you know what's crazy? When I look at the list of 5 interception games, actually, I have to remember a lot of them. I was all, like, I had money on some of them and remember them. Number one, I think a lot of people remember Nate Peterman. Nate Peterman made his debut against the Chargers, the San Diego Chargers at the time, for the Buffalo Bills, and he threw 5 interceptions in the game, and it was much maligned and talked about. People just thought he was a terrible quarterback, like, for the rest of his life because he had that bad first half, but it really was crazy. Like literally 3 of the 5 of them were not his fault. You know, it was like a ball off a helmet, tip ball, this receiver dropped it right into, like, it was one of these just insane, you can't make up scenarios. But Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions last year. Goff just had a disastrous game. Yeah. Against the Houston Texans. He went 15 to 30. It was just one of those, the game blew up on him and he had 5 interceptions. Jameis Winston, not a shock to see Jameis on the list, but
no.
He only did it once. Jameis did it once in 2019. Nate Peterman did it in 2017. Ben Roethlisberger did it in 2017. In that era, there was a lot, actually. Matt Barkley did it in 2016. Russell Wilson did it in 2016. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I remember that one. Fitzpatrick threw six of them against the Kansas City Chiefs when he's on the Jets. I remember that game. Look at Eli Manning. Eli Manning has a multiple five-interception games. Joe Flacco, Drew Brees. So there's some good quarterback names on this list. But in the modern era, it doesn't happen as much. And I have a hot take in the NFL that this year, I think you're going to see teams are going to start to throw the ball less now. Everything goes back and forth. It's like fashion. It's like music, etc. Everything always goes full circle, right? You know what I mean? From vinyl to where we got to digital to now, you know, vinyl is hot again right now. Right? Bell bottoms come in and out every 30 years, 40 years. Like, so football changes and the way that, like, all these coaches and all these general managers, I've been talking about this for years. Me and Mike Dottillier talked about this. It was Flores, the coach of the Dolphins, years ago that at a football clinic told coaches this, that this would happen. He said, you know, we've all gotten so fast and everyone is so fast in football. And he goes, but they're smaller now. He goes, people can't stop the run anymore. And he said, a smart team is going to start just running the ball and go old school and no one's going to be able to stop them. And you'll notice the power game is pretty efficient. Like, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, like, just, you know, the brotherly shove, just running the ball down your throat. We talked about Derrick Henry, right? The Buffalo Bills run the ball a lot and just sort of play smash-mouth football. And, like, the better teams aren't really the fancy teams. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Kansas City Chiefs aren't fancy. You know, they play very just good defense and – they run a couple of plays, but they run them well on offense. I think a lot of the flashy, the sizzle stuff is going to sizzle out, and the steak is sort of back. The beef, where's the beef? Like the lady in the Wendy's commercial used to say. So I think you're going to see sort of teams running the ball more, and just teams are still going to throw, obviously. But I don't think a quarterback's going to throw five interceptions this year. It could happen, obviously. You can never completely predict what's going to happen in a football game. But, you know, Goff did it. It's a possibility. But you take Goff out of the equation, and it hasn't happened since 2019. J.J. McCarthy's not going to throw five picks. I'm thinking about, like, rookie young quarterbacks. Like, J.J. is a pretty smart – J.J. will throw one or two or something. He might have a three-interception game. But J.J. doesn't make the same mistake twice. Like, he'll make a mistake, and then he doesn't do the same thing again.
I've never seen so many people, all people, Gabe, with a negative take of J.J. McCarthy. Like, it's just, oh, he's going to be horrible. Like, we were there in Vegas. The guy from Minnesota is talking about how bad he's going to be. And I was just, like, sitting back going, like, what are we talking about here? The guy was still a grinder. He was still – the Michigan won a national championship. He's smart. He's tough. Like, I don't understand – why people are coming into the season and thinking this guy's going to be like an ultimate bust. I think it's ridiculous, to be honest with you.
Well, what's this? The ridiculous, you know, they're free to their opinion, but the ridiculous part is that he hasn't played. So, like, for them to, like, judge. And also the ridiculous part is he has a much better pedigree than pretty much anybody else, like, that's coming into the league. Like, J.J. McCarthy has won everywhere he's been. It's not a coincidence. Like, he won a high school state championship in Illinois, and he didn't play at some powerhouse either. So that's another thing, too. Like, a lot of these, not taking anything away from anyone who wins a state championship, but a lot of times, like, they're a powerhouse, right? And you played for the powerhouse team, and, oh, yeah, they win a lot, but he was on the team. No, like, J.J. McCarthy took a high school that, like, had never won before and then won the state championship. Then he left there because he was too good for, like, the league and stuff and, you know, whatever. So he went to Florida and he played in that IGL, like, all-star league. And he won the championship in that league. So then he won the championship against, like, all the top college recruits. Then he goes to Michigan, wins the national championship in Michigan. Like, that's not by accident, guys. Right, it's not like, oh, no, it's because he was on a good team all the time. It's like, no, he was the reason they were a good team. Right, look at the Michigan Wolverines, like, with Harbaugh. Michigan went to the playoffs, guys. Michigan had, Michigan went, like, 10-2. They went to the playoffs, and they played the Georgia Bulldogs in the playoffs. So it was the first one, Harbaugh's first playoff trip. And Cade McNamara was the quarterback. And he got like replaced by McCarthy, despite the fact that he basically lost like two games as a starter. Harbaugh knew, basically. He was like, you know what? This McCarthy kid is special. We're going to win. Like, we're going to make him the starter, despite, like, the fact, because we're that close, he'll put us over the top. And he did. He's got tools to work with. It's because he's not, you know, that flashy guy. Michigan ran the ball a lot, but he's got a strong arm. He can read. Like, he's a really good quarterback. Like, there's nothing not to like. He's super athletic. He's good with his legs, too. He can scramble. He reads defense as well. There's a lot to like about him. You know, like I said, he's going to make mistakes. He's never played an NFL regular season game before, but I do find it interesting, actually, for the record, too. J.J. McCarthy grew up a Bears fan. As I stated, he's from Illinois. So his first football game was a Bears game. There's all kinds of pictures out there. So pretty wild that his first career start, actually, will be on Monday Night Football in Chicago. So a little bit of symmetry for J.J. McCarthy. In that football game. Looking forward to seeing that Monday Night Football game. Cam Ward, listen, Cam Ward could potentially do it because Cam Ward's pretty wild. Like, Cam Ward, like, is, like, even with Miami, like, he made mistakes, but he's fearless. That's his thing. Like, he does not get rattled after throwing an interception, Cam Ward, because he knows he'll make a play. So there's always the possibility, guys, that somebody's going to throw the five, but just looking like we were talking about the long rush, the yard from scrimmage touchdown prop. It's few and far between, and you're getting even odds. Like, you would want plus money. On this one, it's few and far between that it actually happens. So, like, the value is actually on the no here. Like I said, yeah, it happened once last year, but other than that, it hadn't happened since 2019. Other than that, it hadn't happened since 2017. So, in other words, it's happened three times in the last, like, 9 years. Right. So, and we're getting it at even money. So, like, the value, so to speak, is on our side with that one. Then it starts just to get into the, like, real random type of stuff. Will anybody catch four touchdown passes in a game this year? Over under 3.5. If you think over, you can get plus 300. Most receiving TDs by any player in the regular season this year, 13.5. Right. Longest rush in the regular season, 90.5 yards. Most offensive interceptions by the player in a season, over under 7.5. So will anybody have over under 8 interceptions? Most interceptions thrown by any QB in a regular season. Here's one, actually, that looks pretty good, Cam. 17.5 over under. I believe a quarterback will throw more than 18 interceptions. That's not a ton.
That's interception a game. No, I and there's going to be a game where I think they throw, you said three could happen very, very easily. Four. Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's going to be definitely that. I got to be honest with you. What was that receiving touchdowns over? What was it? 13.5? I think there's going to be a receiver with more than that. What was that number?
Yeah. Will anybody catch 13.5 passes in a game?
Don't you think that'll happen?
It's a possibility. Hold on, actually. No, you know what? Actually, it's not 13.5, Cam. So wait, it's most receiving touch. It's the 13.5 is the touchdowns.
Ooh.
So, like, will anybody have four? Will any receiver have 14 touchdowns in a season? So 13.5 is the touchdowns, but the actual, there is a prop for receptions in the game. Most receptions in a game. It's 15.5.
Wow, that's a lot.
Under 15.5 is minus 225. Over 15.5 is plus 175. Now you figure, like, you know, Puka Nacua, he's the one guy. But now you got Devontae Adams on the Rams. So you sort of got Nacua. He has gotten into that 12-13 range type of deal, but 16 is a lot. And it's one of these deals. I want better than plus 175 to get 16 receptions in a game.
So you're telling me, so Ja'Marr Chase had 17 touchdowns receiving last year. After that, scary Terry McLaurin had 13. And you're saying the number is 13.5?
Yeah.
Somebody will get 14 touchdowns.
I would say
touchdowns.
Over as well.
Then. Over. Yes. I like that one. That's the one I'm looking at. Like, there's a lot of guys that were close. St. Brown, 12. McLaurin, 13. Chase, 17. Gabe, like, you know, there's a lot of talented receivers. Like Thomas in Jacksonville, I think he can get around 14 touchdowns this year. I think he can be right around that number. So, yeah, I like over. Receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, not a bad bet. 13.5 over under over under touchdowns scored by any wide receiver or tight end, whatever, any player, any player get 14 touchdowns this year catching a football. Most sacks by any player in the regular season, over under 18 and a half. Most rushing yards is the total is 1750.5. Most rush yards in a game, over under 220 and a half.
Oh, man, that's a lot of yards.
I would say under.
Under. Yeah, I like under there too. That's that is very difficult to do. When was the last, like, 200 yards in a game? Because some of these best backs are getting older too. That's a crazy amount of – no, I like under that. Under rushing yards in a game, under over 13 and a half for touchdowns from a receiver slash tight end.
If you look at the 200, let's look at the 200 yard prop by here. Adrian Peterson banged off 296 before, which is absolutely insane. Jamal Lewis. So you just looking at like the looking at the eras of this though, like Adrian Peterson 2007 did it. Jamal Lewis 295 rushing yards in 2003. Corey Dillon, 278. Walter Payton, 275. O.J. Simpson, 273. Sean Alexander, 266. But the modern era here, Saquon Barkley, 255. He did that last year. Jonathan Taylor did it in 2021, 253.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
That's the only time in the modern era. Derrick Henry, 2018. 238.
You're bringing up O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson, Walter Payton, Jamal Lewis, Sean Alexander. So, yeah, so we've had a few, a handful of
guys. It's a rare occurrence in the modern era. Saquon Barkley is like the only one capable of doing it.
Yes. I agree. I'd go under there for sure. I it could happen, but no, I lean
under.
But
Saquon is more than capable of doing it. Like, like 220, all it is a couple of big runs. Like I said, he had 255. He had 255 just last year in a game against the Los Angeles Rams. So it is possible, but it's basically, you know, it's almost a Saquon Barkley prop because Derrick Henry's older right now. They don't use him as much. They're, you know, they sort of protect him a little bit. So he won't get as many carries to do it. Saquon's the guy, like you think, all right, on the Buffalo Bills, Cook is really fast. Cook could pop one or something, like, but they don't give him the ball enough. Like he's not big enough. So they don't give him the ball enough to like to get that type of yardage. You got to be either be like super fast or super big. And there's not really any super big running backs in the league. And I'm thinking about the speed burner guys. Just, you know, they're kind of third down specialists. They don't really play enough to do it. So it's really almost will Saquon Barkley be able to pull this off. But it is intriguing, 220 and a half. Like I said, there's some fun ones up on the board. The 13 and a half touchdown one does seem doable. Most the touchdowns, over under touchdowns by any quarterback is 40 and a half. This year, most passing touchdowns in a game, over under 5.5. Will anybody get to 6 is basically the bet. A lot of these bets, like there's a lot of the stuff hasn't happened in a little while. So you sort of would want plus money, but you'll notice they're not making these plus money bets. They're all even money bets and they're up to you, you know, at -110 to decide which side you want to take. But the season high props are an interesting one. And there's another interesting one that I've always liked as well is in a division, the 1-2 finish. Now, you could do division exact order, like all four teams, and you could really cash in, man, because it pays well because you're picking four teams in order. But some of these divisions are tricky, but to me, the AFC East is the one. Like, if you look at every division in the league, there's not really a stone-cold lock. Philadelphia should win the NFC East, but the NFC East has a new winner every year, and crazy things happen at division. But yeah, the Eagles should win a division. The AFC West, I think the Broncos are good. The Chargers are good. And I think that's going to be a battle for the division with the Chiefs this year. You look at the AFC North, you got a bunch of good teams. The Ravens, the Bengals, the Steelers. So really anybody could win that division. Baltimore's supposed to, but anybody could. The South is really kind of the Texans or the Jags that are going to win that division. So there's a lot of like sort of like debate type stuff. NFC North, you know, it's probably the Bucs, but it could be the Falcons, but that's like, that's a bettable one. The NFC West is like wide open, and the NFC North is wide open. So, but to me, so sort of the one, like the best division winning bet would be the Buffalo Bills, right? When you look at the division that they're in, the competition that they face and how good they are, the Bills to win a division is sort of one team you can pencil in to win a division. So now this is where you can make some money if you can pick who's going to finish in second place in this division. The Buffalo Bills to finish first and the New England Patriots to finish second is minus 120. The Buffalo Bills to finish first and the Miami Dolphins to finish second is plus 250. The Buffalo Bills to finish first and the New York Jets to finish second is plus 450. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to win the division. And I also think that the New England Patriots are being greatly overrated and overhyped coming into the year right now. Yeah, Vrabel is a good coach. And yes, Drake May is a good young quarterback going in the right direction. But we're talking about a football team that won like four games last year. All right, and it's hard. Like, you're talking about a big jump. So a lot of people are expecting the Patriots to somehow go from, like, 4 to 9 to 10 or something like that. And, yeah, their schedule is manageable, but the New England Patriots, to me, are not better than the Miami Dolphins. And all this negativity about the Dolphins and the Dolphins this and the Dolphins that and McDaniel this and McDaniel that, the fact of the matter is when Tua plays, they win games. Tua's record is 38 and 24. Like he's 38 and 24 as a starter. That's like I say, that's very impressive, right? The thing is, he gets hurt often, right? Well, so when Tua plays, they win football games. And you know the Dolphins, like I said, there's been media negativity and their coach. You know he's the way he dresses and he has weird press conferences and. The general manager said, yeah, we're going to stop spending so much money and stop signing these free agents all the time. So people take it as if, though, like they've quit or something like that. But it hasn't worked for them signing those free agents, right? So I don't really see, like, you know what I mean? They're going younger, which can't really hurt them, to be honest. And the Dolphins problem, guys, and for the record, I love the Dolphins this week +1 against the Indianapolis Colts. I do like that pick. But the thing with the Dolphins is, they're not very deep. You know, their general manager hasn't done a great job. Like, they're top heavy. I think they've caught on to that. Like, the Dolphins have had star players at the top, and then, like, it gets real thin real quick. I think they've sort of realized we've got to get, like, sort of deeper. And you know what? If Tyreek Hill's unhappy, screw him, like, type of deal. But Tyreek has shut up so far this year. They took his captaincy away as well. So I actually like that the room stepped up and said, all right, Tyreek, you're not a captain anymore. Right, you're a head case. You're always bitching after we lose. So he's not a key. They took away one of his team captaincies. I just think that, like, the Dolphins, they're not, number one, they're not as bad as people say think they're going to be or are. And also, especially early in the season against the Colts, they're good. Like, if Tyreek Hill isn't hurt and Jaylen Waddle isn't hurt and Tua isn't hurt, they have a very good offense. Right, like the Dolphins can beat kind of almost anybody, actually, besides the Bills. Like, Tua has a problem with the Bills in that division, but the Jets are the Jets, and let's see what they do with Fields and Aaron Glenn. And the Patriots won four games last year. So if you guys want to talk yourself into the fact that the Patriots are going to take this giant step, I'm not ready to do it. My bet will be the Buffalo Bills to finish first, the Miami Dolphins to finish second, and we're getting a nice, robust plus 250, Ken.
I got to tell you, Gabe, I like, for the same bet as you, by the way, I like the Raiders over the Patriots in week one. AFC North, exact order. I like Baltimore to come in first. I like Pittsburgh to come in second, Cincinnati to come in third, and Cleveland to come in fourth. I'll do a pick four, like right there, exact order. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland. I like that one as much as almost any bet on the board for the division. Like, I really believe Pittsburgh. Baltimore, to me, is head and shoulders better than everybody else. Pittsburgh will find a way. They do every year. Cincinnati's defense makes them in the three hole, and Cleveland, a lot of growing pains with that team. That's what I like, exact order.
I like where you're going with that because – and we could use the NFC South as an example as well, in the sense that we know. That's why I like the Buffalo play, because we know Buffalo will win the division. Mm-hmm. In this division, you know Cleveland will be the last place team. So it sort of makes it easier. It eliminates things. So now you're just picking three teams, so to speak. But the odds makers know this. Baltimore to finish first, Pittsburgh second, Cincinnati third, Cleveland fourth, pace plus 350.
Yeah. I want a little bit more, but I'd still bet it at plus 350. That's the order. Like, I love that, actually. I just want more.
And the NFC South is kind of another easier one, so to speak, because I think Carolina are improved and they're getting better. But I don't think they're better than the Atlanta Falcons, and I don't think they're better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I know they're going to be better than the New Orleans Saints. So this one, Tampa to finish first, Atlanta to finish second, Carolina to finish third, the Saints to finish fourth, plus 400. Mm. Pretty nice. Now, the other thing that could happen here would be the Atlanta Falcons to win the division, Tampa to finish second, Carolina third. And then, of course, the New Orleans Saints. I think the New Orleans Saints are gonna be the ones that, like, they'll be the last place team in this division. So basically, it sort of comes down to: do you think that Atlanta, or do you think that Tampa Bay are going to win the division? And I'm kind of high on Atlanta, but I think Tampa are good. So I think Tampa are better than Atlanta are. But I think Atlanta can, like, get into the playoffs as a wild card team. So at plus 400, I kind of buy into this one. Tampa Bay first, Atlanta second, Carolina third, New Orleans fourth at plus 400, Kim.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And I think that one's a little bit harder because I'm not sure who is better, Atlanta or Tampa Bay. But I could tell you, Gabe, and I think you'd agree that Baltimore's better than Pittsburgh or Cincinnati in the North. That's why I know that price at plus 350 is not as good at four. But yeah, you could flip them. I think Atlanta might win that division with Tampa Bay coming second, Carolina third, and then the Saints fourth. But that's tough. You know it. Like, Baker Mayfield and the Bucks, they're a tough out. They're a very gritty team. And yeah, would it shock you if either team won the division? But I know in the North, I confidently think Baltimore will be better than Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, or Cleveland.
Now, looking at the NFC South props here, guys, there's actually a way to attack this, and I don't mind this at all. So you play Tampa Bay to be first, Atlanta second, Carolina third, Saints fourth. And then you play another one, Atlanta to be first, Tampa second, Carolina third, Saints fourth, and that's plus 700. Mm. So you're getting a plus 400 and a plus 700. So either way, your bet turns into you think Carolina is going to be third and the Saints are going to be fourth in that division. Right, but yeah, not too bad. Like, you know, you put $100 on the table for the 400, you get 500 back. You put 100 on the table for the 700, you get 800 back. So you put 200 on the table, and you're either getting 500 back or 800 back if you make that bet, like at $100 units, right? And I don't mind that, actually, because I think Carolina will be better. I think New Orleans are the worst team in the league. And I think Tampa and Atlanta battle for the division. So I actually like that bet. And for the record, I stand my ground. I've been saying it for the last month plus since the odds came out for this one, the worst team in the league. Cleveland's schedule is tough. And, you know, the Browns are going to be a terrible team. But I do believe that the New Orleans Saints will be the worst team in the National Football League when it's all said and done. And you get that at plus 400. So, the National Football League season is here, Cam. Your picks for the Friday night Chiefs and Chargers game.
I like the Chiefs, Gabe. I wish the line was 2.5, but it's 3. But I think the Chiefs win the game. Also, we talk about international games, and I know you're more of an over guy. I see this game being more defensive. The 46.5, I kind of lean under. I like the Chiefs to win. I like the game to go under 46.5. I think it's going to be a tight one. Chiefs beat the Chargers by 4.
One thing to note about the international games, the Chiefs have never lost an international game. They're actually 3-0 on international turf, And the Chargers have actually never won an international game before. They're 0-3. So a little bit of context there. But big-time divisional tilt. It's interesting that the Chiefs are only three-point favorites in this game. You know, I'm just done. I'm just so battle fatigued of betting against the Chiefs and losing. And when I bet against the Chiefs, I like to be getting points. You know, I mean, the Chiefs are not good favorites, but this is a moderate price right now. And the Chiefs do have a chip on their shoulder, but the Chargers are a very good football team. And the Chargers generally do have a great track record early in the season. In fact, like they have a great week one record, but so does Andy Reid. For me, this game has teaser written all over it. You get the Chargers up to plus 10 points. I think that's something that's very, very attractive going into Sunday, and you can pair it with a game on Sunday. So we'll be back with the Friday Freak Show edition of the program. Rob Vino will step up and in. We'll break it all down with Rob, NFL, CFL, and, of course, college football. Michigan and Oklahoma on Saturday night. I can't wait for this blockbuster marquee showdown between two legendary programs, iconic programs that have only played once before, the 1976 Orange Bowl. So this is only the second time they're ever going to be playing Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern time on NBC. The point spread was 6.5 Oklahoma, but it's come down. Michigan are now getting 5 points in this football game. And you know who I like in that one. We'll see you on the grid. Yes. I'll be on for this. I'm going to be on for the Eagles and the Cowboys game. I'm going to be on for every damn NFL game this year. Thursday, Friday, we'll be on Sunday for the Bills games. Me and Wetzel will be on for the weeknight games. I'm going to be on Sunday nights, and me and Cameron on Saturday morning for the college football. So we're raging 7 days a week. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.